You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel Rue, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. With the Warriors having a couple of days off, if you want to hear my podcasts on the Clippers game and the Blazers game, you can listen to those. They came out on the nights of or morning after, depending on your time zone, of those games. You can check those out. And I wanted to do a couple different things in the gap days. And one of them was something that I was inspired over the weekend to do and then made a piece and I'm doing a podcast on it, which is going back to something I did shortly before the start of the season of going through the Warriors' potential playoff rotation, not in terms of who plays with who and everything like that, but just in terms of raw minute distribution to give an idea of where the team is and potentially what has changed a little bit over the course of the season. So starting out with the fundamentals, a team plays 240 minutes per game. That's 48 minutes at each of the five positions, and that is really what has to be filled at that. Yes, there are playoff games and everything like that, but I'm not going to concern myself with that sort of a dynamic. And then the second part is that I use averages, and an average for a playoff series, because it is by nature, even if you go as far as the Warriors have in the playoffs the last 2 years, it is not that big a sample. It is prone to variation, whether that comes in the form of foul trouble or that comes in the form of overtime games. You know, a lot of different ways it can happen. And an average is exactly that. That means that some players will have, every player will have some games that are substantially or more than that, you know, overtime game or whatever, and they'll have some that are less. So it is designed to reflect the overall arc of the playoffs. And with the Warriors, you can actually do that because they've had longer series and longer playoff runs. So the sample is large enough that you can really work through it. And you have that 240 to work with. And I separated out my analysis this time, as I did last time, into three fundamental groups, with the first group being the easiest to define, and then it gets a little more complicated from there. So the first group are the All-Stars. And for the guys that are holdovers for the Warriors, I looked more closely at their 2015 playoff minutes than 2016, because with Stephen Curry's injury, it changed the rotations, it changed the minute distribution, particularly in that Portland series, but just overall for the playoffs. And 2015, I believe the Warriors played fewer overtime games, and they also were healthier. So it's a greater approximation of what the full-strength Warriors rotation would look like. And in that playoff run, Stephen Curry averaged a little over 39 minutes a game, Draymond Green averaged a little over 37, and Klay Thompson averaged over 36. All of those are above their regular season minute totals both then and now, but that's the way it works. You know, that's part of the reason why the Warriors are who they are, is that they're going to do that. So for reference, this year, Curry's averaging 33.5 minutes per game in the regular season, Draymond's averaging 33.2, so a little less, and Klay's averaging 34.1, a little more, partially I think because he's not getting in foul trouble as much as he used to. Klay actually used to be on the lower side for minutes for those Warriors guys, but I think as he's solidified a role in the rotation and they've gotten a better use out of him, and he's not getting in foul trouble as much, it works out that way. So you start with those three guys, and just those three. So three players on a 15-man roster, you have 112 minutes as the estimate, as the average, and they'll go more than that in the finals should the Warriors make it. That's 112, leaving 128 left for everyone else. And the most obvious player in everyone else is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is harder to calibrate because he has never played on the Warriors in the playoffs before. He's never played with Steve Kerr. And not only that, but he wasn't in the playoffs 2 years ago. So you're either comparing last season or years before under a different coach, different scheme, different surrounding talent. And I ended up using 2016 for him, partially because it was a longer playoff run, because they made it to the Western Conference Finals where they lost to the Warriors, and also partially because his other minutes seemed unsustainably high. He was often in the 41, 42 minute range, which is more than Coach Kerr and this staff would probably ask of him. And in 2016, he averaged 40 minutes a game. So I used that as the point. It could be a little bit less than that, but 40 is okay. You know, it's Curry at 49, Durant at 40. That's not a problem. And Durant is actually averaging the most minutes per game on the Warriors this year, slightly more than Klay, 34.3. So putting him a little bit above Stephen Curry is not really a problem. And I would make the argument that he's shouldering a smaller burden on this Warriors team than he did in the 2016 OKC run, because the defensive roles are probably going to be pretty similar, and offensively, Russ is a very different complementary piece, but Durant doesn't have the ball in his hands as much. He doesn't have to battle through as many different things, not as much ISO. And so he might actually be running a little bit more, but I think that the strain on him could be physical and mental could be a little bit less. So I'm okay with 40. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was ended up being a little bit lower than that, but it's not horrible. You know, I'm fine with it as a barometer, as a baseline for right now, fine with doing that. So if you add in his 40, that means the Warriors are 152 minutes on average, and then they have 88 remaining for everyone else. It's 11 guys still. Granted, some players will not play in the playoffs, but still 88 left. There are other directions to go for the remaining minutes, but where I went when I did this before the season, and I think is a logical way to do it, is with Iguodala and Livingston next. Iguodala and Livingston will have similar roles in the 2017 playoffs, assuming everyone stays healthy, to what they had the last couple of years. And both Livingston and Iguodala, this won't be surprising, played more minutes per game in 16 than 15 because they could ramp up more with Curry's absence than the other players could, because Draymond and Klay, they're already playing a lot of minutes. You can't really push them that much more on a minute total. You can expand their role. But that's why I went back to those numbers to 2015 for both Iguodala and Livingston. And at that time, they were at 30 for Iguodala, which was the year, if you remember, he started the last couple games of the finals, and 18 for Livingston. Last time around, I kept those exactly the same. This time, I have toned them down a little bit to 28 and 17, respectively. So 2 minutes off for Iguodala and 1 minute off for Livingston. Doing that the night after Andre Iguodala led the Warriors in minutes without Stephen Curry, played 36 plus, just a little bit over Kevin Durant. That seems a little bit weird, but I also don't think with the way that he's aging that the Warriors will want to push him that hard on an average basis. He could be the player who has the largest difference between, in the positive, in the expansion direction, between the early rounds and the later rounds when the Warriors will ask him to do more, unless they just end up putting Kevin Durant on LeBron James more often and then they will need a little bit less from Andre. We'll have to see. But toning those guys down a couple of minutes doesn't make that huge difference. So it makes it that if you combine the 28 and the 17 with everything else that we already have, the Warriors are at 197 minutes between those six players, the four All-Stars and then Livingston and Iguodala. 197 leaves just 43 minutes for the entire rest of the team. And 43 minutes is less than one full position for the game. And there are a lot of worthwhile players. And this is actually where I found the most interesting distinction over the course of the year, because when I did that, I believe it was a podcast, I'm not sure the piece ever came out, but when I did that podcast, I focused on the idea of what was then 40 minutes and said, really the goal of this season was to find players that were worth taking all or a portion of those 40 minutes. And what has happened this year is that Zaza Pachulia in particular, but arguably David West to a degree, have proven their worthiness of portions of that minute load. Pachulia, I had penciled in before at 22, and he's actually playing less than that in the regular season. I would not expect him to play that much in the playoffs. And then David West is a little bit more complicated because he has a more limited role in the regular season, but he also got marginalized to a degree on the Spurs last year, so I don't know exactly how to play him. Pachulia, after being in the 20s, the mid-20s, for most of his modern playing career, since he really had that resurgence about 4 or 5 years ago, he's been in that role. He's averaging 18.8 minutes per game in the regular season, so I have toned down his projection from 22 to 16. However, I believe that he will be better in those 16 minutes than I expected him to be in the 22. He has done a nice job this year. The Warriors know how to use him well, and the most likely role for him, off what we know right now, is that against most opponents, you know, in the early rounds, let's say, he does something similar to what Andrew Bogut did, which is start the first and third quarters and then play something in the 6 to 7 minute range and then pop in the second and fourth quarters as warranted. So depending on matchup, depending on fit, depending on fatigue and foul trouble for everybody else. And that puts him right about at the 16 that I estimated. David West, his role will shift the most of any of these guys based on the rotations that the Warriors choose, because as a true center, he will get squeezed by Draymond Green shifting a lot more of his minutes from power forward to center. I think in the early rounds that will be toned down, especially if the Warriors don't think that they're particularly threatened by their opponent. They might end up facing good teams in every round, but considering they just beat the Blazers without Steph Curry, and we don't know at all really now at this point who they're going to get in the second, the number that I've had in my head for the last little while is that in the later rounds, they'll end up around 25 minutes per game with Draymond at center, and in early rounds, 20 or less. And so 20 or less opens up plenty of minutes for Pachulia and West and JaVale McGee if he can earn it. But when he gets closer to 25 or potentially even more than that, it really starts to squeeze those guys out, because when you start to get into the high teens for combined minutes for the two of them, you can do that. And an idea that I've been thinking about, I've talked about this a little bit on Locked On Warriors and a little bit on radio spots as well, is the concept that the Warriors should consider trotting out for a couple of minutes. Likely it would be at the very beginning of the second and fourth quarters, because Curry likes to finish quarters, an all-bench unit. So Livingston, West, Pachulia or JaVale McGee, either one, and then two swingmen. So that if Iguodala is playing a lot with the starters, then you probably want that to be more of the Clark, McCaws, and whoever they get as either a trade guy or a buyout guy in February or March. Go in that direction. And if the Warriors can get 2 to 3 minutes in each half from those guys, it allows them to functionally avoid staggering Durant and Curry and Drew Green and Klay Thompson. And if they throw one of those four guys in that mix, then it tones it down a lot more. They've done a lot of 2 and 2 in the regular season. So that started out in a couple of different configurations, but at present, it's largely Curry and Durant play the whole first quarter. Draymond and Klay come out at various points in the first, and then those guys come back either at the beginning or early on in the second quarter and then the fourth quarter. If they can make that one and make it more 3-1, it would help a lot, because the Warriors at their best are really, really hard to defend, and all those guys are also good passers and good defenders. So it works better the more they can pull that off. And an all-bench unit for the Warriors would probably play slow, lag it a little bit, just try really hard on defense, run if you get a transition opportunity, you know, if you get a missed shot or force a steal. But other than that, not pushing it too hard, make no mistakes. Andre Iguodala, if he's in this lineup, doesn't turn the ball over very much. Go in that direction, buy a little bit of time, maybe even if they can pull it off to the first TV timeout, then it just really put the hammer down at the end of the second and the fourth quarters. It's one way to do it. Might not be perfect, but I want to see them try it. And that idea also opens up minutes for David West at power forward, which is something that could really work against second units in the playoffs, because a lot of teams don't have a guy that is so versatile at the four as a backup that they're going to really exploit David West. Sam Decker might actually be a problem for the Warriors if they end up facing the Rockets, but other than him, the Jazz don't have a backup four that should scare the Warriors playing David West there. The Spurs don't really. If they play Davis Bertans, I think that actually net helps the Warriors, because West can just bully him a little bit on the interior. Lots of different ways you can pull it off. And also, if that ends up being Pachulia, it opens up a wrinkle that I would love to see the Warriors try, which is when JaVale plays, if he plays in the playoffs, having it be with more starters. So having him take some of Pachulia's minutes there and swap Pachulia into the later spot, because Pachulia is more versatile. He's better with inferior teammates than JaVale McGee is. So that's one way of making that work. But again, we're at 43 minutes. If you throw 16 at Pachulia, 10 at David West, West's might go down substantially from there. You're at 17. 17 is not many when you consider the talent that is still remaining that has not been given any minutes at all. Ian Clark, Patrick McCaw, Kevon Looney, James Michael McAdoo, Damian Jones, Anderson Varejao, and whoever the Warriors get as a buyout guy and a trade candidate. And presumably, if they're spending the resources, even though they're not going to be in the luxury tax, to get somebody else, it is with the intention of somebody who is worthy of at least some of these minutes, because they can afford one player. I actually think point guard would be the best spot for this, who can just sop up regular season minutes, do something like that. The ideal are players that can be a part of the playoff rotation. So you start with that 17, and then the only other distinction that I make is giving some minutes in the Leandro Barbosa spot to either Ian Clark or Patrick McCaw. Leandro Barbosa played between 10 and 12 minutes about per game in the playoffs. Coach Kerr really liked him, and he was more a Kerr favorite and drew that loyalty more than either Clark or McCaw has so far. So I toned that down from that level to 8 minutes a game, and that will most often come when one of the perimeter players is in foul trouble. Durant, Iguodala, Klay Thompson. Thompson has the most have a habit of doing that. Durant doesn't foul very much, so that rule might actually be reduced, and that's part of the reason I cut it down, but it might even be reduced further from there. Right now, McCaw's probably the leader for those minutes because he's been playing more. Depending on which player is in foul trouble or is hurt or whatever, Clark might be the better fit depending on circumstance, but both of them are viable options for such a small responsibility. They're each playing a whole lot more than that now. Clark's averaging just under 14, McCaw's averaging just under 12, but remembering that they aren't playing in every game, so you're not splitting that they're not getting like a combined 20 minutes per game at the Warriors. It's just that sometimes one of them plays and one of them does not. So if you add in those 8, the Warriors are down to 9 for everyone else. And part of the reason I don't want to distribute those is because it very well could go to somebody who's not on the roster. And the other part is because those 9 minutes are the most obvious group that will, in the later rounds, go straight into the stars, giving Curry, giving Green, giving Klay Thompson, Durant an extra couple minutes a game is something that will happen if the Warriors make the finals. So I didn't want to distribute those last 9 minutes anyway, but Kevon Looney, the other guy of Clark and McCaw, or just them as a collective, could get more. Heaven forbid, James Michael McAdoo, Anderson Varejao could get some. I don't expect Damian Jones to be part of the playoff rotation this year, considering the major adjustment and the fact that he missed Summer League and everything else makes that unlikely this year. Who knows? I think part of the goal would be to make him worthy of some of these minutes for next year's playoffs. That would be a reasonable goal for both him and Kevon Looney, especially if the Warriors have to squeeze and scrimp and save, depending on what Kevin Durant does. And yes, I will do a podcast on that at some point in the future, depending on when I get a firm grasp on the new collective bargaining agreement. So those 9 minutes, I'm not going to stress about how they're going to be distributed, especially because they will evaporate by the later rounds of the playoffs. But really, that's the way it works. So the Cliff's Notes version, Core 4, 152 combined minutes. After you add in Iguodala and Livingston, you're down to about 40, 43 minutes left. Then after you add in Pachulia and West, closer to 20 minutes left. And then if you give the Leandro Barbosa spot to Clark and McCaw, closer to 10. And that is an amazing level of talent, considering what a lot of teams have to deal with, you know, having guys in the rotation that are good enough to play. And every person that was listed there at full strength can be a contributor to a successful team. There are weaker points, but there are not truly weak points compared to other teams. Now, whether Kerr will actually follow this and make it so that players like Varejao and McAdoo do not play or play very limited moments and very low leverage is another question entirely. It's a question I can't answer. It's a question that we just kind of have to sit and wait on until May and June. Talked about that a little bit with Eric Gunderson at the end of the Blazers Warriors crossover podcast yesterday, but we can't answer that question, so I'm not going to try to because that feels irresponsible. If I were to focus on an area that I think would be good for the Warriors to get stronger at, JaVale's presence has made it less urgent to add a center, especially if Draymond is willing to get into that 25 minutes per game range at center. It would still be great if they could get somebody who had a higher ceiling or who could fit in really well, but I'm leaning more towards somebody who could either play some point guard if they really needed it, a perimeter spot who's more reliable than McCaw or Clark, because if they could get somebody who they really trust for 15 minutes a game there, that would allow them to go in Durant at the four a lot more. That flexibility would be huge. And then a power forward, if they're not comfortable with David West there, backup four is another position of weakness for this team. I would personally think that West playing the four is fine. Give him a couple minutes there, nothing too big. But if not, look at who's on the market. And it always depends, with buyouts in particular, on who's available. You know, if the right person's available, you make it work. And the Warriors have a loose need everywhere and an intense need nowhere. So if a great player comes around and says, hey, I want to join the Warriors, you can take them anywhere. But you're not sitting there going, oh, well, we have to let that guy pass because we need X position more. So that is how I see it right now. A month from now, we will have a much, much better idea, because players have to be waived by the end of February in order to be playoff eligible. They do not have to have signed by that point, but they have to have been waived. So any buyouts and the trade deadline will have occurred by then. If there are structural changes to this, I'll probably jump back and revise this and reanalyze it either at that point or some point in early April, because I do enjoy this exercise. I think it's a good way of thinking about the team and calibrating understanding. And so that's why I do it. That's why I take the time to work it out and to draw it out. And for those of you who would like to see it a little bit more visually, and I have a little bit more of a text explanation of this, the piece for The Athletic will be up by the time 99.99% of you read this. I'm going to, as soon as this podcast is processing, I'm going to translate that and put in pictures and add in all the charts that I've already made. So you can check that out there on The Athletic. And The Athletic's adding some really cool new stuff. I don't know exactly when it's going to be incorporated, but their app is going to be awesome. I got to see a mock-up of it last week. I'm not sure if it's gone through the whole App Store process, but my material there is going to pop in a very different way, which I'm extremely excited about. You can also check out Dunked On. Nate Duncan and I have done a couple of Warriors-related things over the last few days. We did 15 and 60, which is our thing where we go through each of the teams in a given conference once a week, and the Warriors section on that came out. That was Sunday night, Monday morning. And then we did our Pacific Division trade deadline preview late last week, and naturally there's a Warriors section there, so you can check both of those things out if you have not already. The other podcast that I've done, I did an email bag last week that will not go stale for a long time. Tomorrow, the current guess is that I'm going to do four factors and schedule analysis. I have to take a look to see if there's anything that I really, really need to wait on until the actual end of the month, because tomorrow is not actually February, so I won't have month-ending stats for everything. But since the Warriors don't play, it probably makes the most sense. And then Wednesday night is Hornets game, Thursday night is Clippers game, and so that will be the rest of this week. If you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, you can reach out to me, Danny LaRue, NBA, at gmail.com, or Twitter, at Danny LaRue, DannyLeroux. I read everything, respond to what I can. Those are the promises that I make. And if you want to support the show, there are a lot of different ways you can do it. You can leave a rating. You can leave a review. You can subscribe. You can download every episode. Great things to do for every show that you really enjoy, because that is something that we all take to advertisers. And if you want to advertise on the show, you certainly can. DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com. Just like I said before, you can reach out and I can give you ideas of stats, and we can have a little conversation about the awesome stuff that we're doing here. So that is an option as well. Lots of more, of course, as always, coming down the pike. So you can check all that out. Thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.